Resurrected King has resurrected me. Watch out. And by his Spirit, I come alive. Same is true for you. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believed he rose from the dead to rise you up as well, you come alive. Right? Jesus was a resurrecting King. From the time he came on this earth, he was building people's lives up. He was raising them up from where they used to be. He went to every kind of place, every kind of person. He traveled everywhere to raise people up from where they were. Outcast, rejected, alone, put aside, forgotten about, condemned by people. And he went into every little town and village, and he looked and found all the lost sheep that had been scattered all over the place, thinking that they could not have a relationship with God. And Jesus went, as the good shepherd that he is, he went and sought out those people, and he found them, and he brought them into the kingdom of God, brought them back into relationship with God, took them from their death, spiritually speaking or emotionally speaking or physically speaking. He took them from death into victory of new life. He poured his breath right back into them. And even those that had been dead and gone in the graves were resurrected the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And we continue as people to have resurrection moments throughout our life, because very often throughout life, sometimes our dreams can die. Our what we want, our plans don't go according to our God's will. Or he doesn't follow what the plans we gave him. Will you get with it, please? Right? Right? But God's plans are greater than the plans we could ever make. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His power is greater than anything we could ever face. And none of us will ever be permanently defeated, ever. Amen. Ever, 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 ever. Because out of the ashes we will rise. Says so in the book of Isaiah. He takes beauty from ashes. He takes a spent life, somebody that thinks they're not worth anything, and he makes them valuable, so valuable that he gave his very life, so that we could see how valuable we are to God. And we are valued by God, and we're here because God wants us to come alive and to live a life that's full and rich and satisfying. The enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, the good shepherd, comes to give us all an abundant life, rich and satisfying. How do you have a rich and satisfying life? You get everything you want. That's how you do it. Everything I ask for, give it to me. That's not how you have it, is it? A life of meaning, a life like Jesus' life was. In fact, he told the disciples to go and make disciples of all people. That was his last words to the disciples. Get the power of the Holy Spirit and go get more people like you, is basically what he was saying. Remember those disciples, those perfect disciples? People that represent every part of society, every kind of sin any of us could ever commit, right? They represented all the worst of humanity. Jesus chose them anyway and changed them because they were with him. And they came alive to a new purpose. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about. Because you've been given a new life, a brand new life in Christ. When did it begin? Don't know. Let's, how about maybe we begin it today? If you haven't already started your new life in Christ, how about you start it today? Okay, beautiful. So the day that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he calls you out of your tomb, out of your grave, and he says, come be with me and be a part of my kingdom, and you say, okay, I'm going, right? You step out. You have free will, so you step out of that grave place. You step out of the place you used to be, and you walk and follow Christ. That's the beginning. You found your Savior, and you have been saved for all eternity. Once saved, always saved. So you'll always have salvation. But that's just the beginning. See, that's just the first step. Because I know and believe and trust that we are here to grow spiritually. Right? Because that's what Jesus did in the 3 years with his disciples. They grew, did they not? Absolutely. And for those of you that are here in our church, you know we are the church of spiritual enrichment and... Very nice. So you're in the right place to hear the right sermon. Beautiful. Nice job. All right. But it comes from the scriptures because we go from growth to growth to growth to growth. It's a process. You keep going through. Okay? That's what you're here for. So first step is you become a Christian, and then you begin to do God's work. You become a disciple, a student. And you begin, now a disciple is not only a student, it's also a person who lives and does God's work. So now guess who your employer is? Who do you work for? Now, if I went around the room and said, where do you work? Some of you would tell me a place you worked, right? In the physical. You right? Some of you work for companies. Some of you work for yourself. Who do you work for? Jesus Christ, God. When you understand that, when you understand that God is your employer, will you ever need unemployment?
No.
Compensation? No. You won't, right? God is a rich God, right? No food stamps necessary, exactly. He will provide everything you not want. Oh, there's a difference. Everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing things the right way, the way Jesus would, and all the other things that you worry about that you think you need, God will provide. So far we have established that you are working for God, right? Very nice. And do you know that you've been prepaid for this work? Really? Huh. Let's go to Matthew, shall we? And I'm going to show you in the scriptures what I'm talking about here. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to begin at verse 14. And before I get to that, chapter 24, by the way, is when Jesus was talking about his second coming. So he was telling the disciples when he was coming back what to look for. But he also was saying, be ready for my coming back. So I remember a friend of mine has a little pin that says, Jesus is coming, look busy. Yes, you do. I know that. I was trying to keep you out of this, but hey, you doubted yourself. I'm sorry. Okay. But anyway, he was speaking about his coming, and basically what he was saying to the disciples and to us, obviously, is, listen, I'm going away. Right? He's going to leave the earth after his resurrection. And while I'm gone, you are going to do my work. Amen. You're going to make disciples. You're going to be God on earth. You're going to work for me, bringing souls into salvation, bringing people into relationship with God, resurrecting those, helping those heal, helping those people that need a God's love. You're going to provide it. And you're going to give my word, which is a living word. So that's what he was telling his disciples. And then he gives this example in chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone. See, I said you were prepaid. He gave them money for while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, 2 bags of gold to another, and 1 bag of gold to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And then he left on his trip. So one person, based on their ability, got 5 bags of gold. And then some of the other, I'm using the New Living Translation, but another Bible translations, it will say 5 talents, or it'll also say denarii, which is actually the real money of the time. So actually it would be 6, 1 bag of gold would be 6,000 denarii. And just in case, I had to look this all up because I was like, what is that? What kind of money is that in today's dollars? But I had to go back to those back when Jesus gave it out. A denarii, actually 6,000 of them would weigh about 75 pounds. Yeah, some of us think of it's a coin, right? 5 coins, three coins, one coin. No. 75 pounds, one denarii. One, the 6,000, rather. Now, a bag of gold, think about, it's $1,400-something dollars an ounce right now. So if you got 75 pounds of gold, holy mackerel, it's like $1.6 million. Slightly more than most of us make. Okay. But but what Jesus is referring to, let's not just talk about money because that's literal. But what he was really referring to is these were God's servants, right? This man is represented as Christ. The people are his servants. Notice this, they work for Jesus, right? And basically what he was giving them was, in one talent, 20 years of wages. One talent. The one person that got one got 20 years of pay ahead of time. The one who got five talents got 100 years worth. So if you get to live that long, financially speaking, right, they each got money for a long period of time. So what's your service to God supposed to be? As long as God wants you to work, right? But he gives you that ahead of time, meaning here, let's go to talents in another sense. God gives you five talents. We think of talent as being what? That's not a talent. Okay, all right. Sorry, I thought it was. Doggone it. I thought it was a talent. I tried. Keep my day. My preaching is a talent. Thank you from the front row. Okay, I'll pay you later. Okay, so. But here's what he says, right? He says, invest it for him. So what I give you, the talents I give you, everybody here has talents, right? From God. And we've all been given spiritual gifts. That's different than a talent. A talent is something we might be born with. Like I have the gift for gab, obviously. It's a talent. Sometimes it's a curse, I get that. But it's still a talent that I use to the best of my ability, right? That's an ability I have. The spiritual gift is the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give me the words to say, to actually preach the word of God that touches each of you in a different way. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So each of us have been given different gifts and talents. But we've been given to us ahead of time for what? To be used, to be invested in where? The kingdom of God. Service, absolutely. All right, keep reading. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of gold began immediately to invest the money and soon doubled it. Wow. Doubled it. Whew. Doubled it. The servant with two bags also went right to work and doubled the money. But the servant who received the one bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. I'm not going to use what God gave me. I'm going to put it away for safekeeping, for a certain rainy day that comes along. I'm not going to let God use me now. I'm going to wait to the right time to do so. Even though God is sometimes asking each and every one of you to serve God in some way, shape, or form, according to your abilities and based on the talents he's given you ahead of time. Can we all acknowledge we've all been given talents by God? All, who? All of us. Some five, some two, some one. How is it that the people with more talents doubled it? Well, they put it to use. Now the one goes and buries it. Remember, it's a 75-pound thing? A lot of digging. Some of you, well, those of you that are sitting on your talents and aren't quite using them, lovingly called, or some of you that say, hey, wait a minute. He got five, I got one. What's up with that? God doesn't like me as much as he likes him. Fine, I'm not using my talents. Doesn't matter how many talents we've been given. What are we supposed to do with them? Serve God with them. Serve God with them. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of gold said, "Sir, you gave me 5 bags of gold to invest. I've doubled the amount." How do you think that person felt? Pretty good about themselves, right? "Look, God, you gave me 5 and I doubled it for you. You gave me 5 things to do and I did 10. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? A sense of purpose, a sense of accomplishment. The master was full of praise. Well done, Jesus says. "You have been faithful in handling this small amount." Isn't that interesting? Wait a minute, $1.6 million is a small amount to God? It's all relative to God, isn't it? Those that are given small amounts get to get what? More. Someone asks for some understanding of the scriptures. The more you seek it, the more you get. The more wisdom and knowledge you get. So if you start small, it's okay to start small, isn't it? If all you have is 75 pounds of gold to start with. But see, listen, we can think in money terms, right? Do you understand how valuable that makes you to God? If you're worth $1.6 million to God in service to others, is that a lot of value you have in God's kingdom? Even if you do the smallest, tiniest good deed for God or for others, do you not see that God rewards it greatly? But what are we supposed to do with those talents? Use them. Invest them into the kingdom of God through souls saved, through lives changed, for people being resurrected, people that are lost being found, the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dead in Christ, the dead in sin to be risen up and given hope, those that have been thinking they're defeated and thrown away, for us to pull them out of the garbage heap and say, "No, you're valuable to God." That's a talent in and of itself, is it not? Share that talent. Why don't you? "Sir, you gave me 2 bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities." Oh, did you have to say that, God? You want me to do more for you now that I've already done this? Isn't it? Aren't you excited? I don't know about you, but I get like so excited when God gives me a brand new responsibility. Somebody goes, "Sure, yeah, you get the responsibility, not me. As long as it's not me." No. Right? Just think about this. Maybe you start off by, I don't know, cleaning the restrooms. That's where ministry starts, by the way. So those you want to start in ministry, clean the toilets. Seriously. I can change a main flapper, I'll tell you what, boy. Anyway. But listen, you start there, right? And then God gives you a greater responsibility. The toilet in that, build other building over there. And then maybe God sends you to somebody's home and maybe they're sick and you got to clean up their toilet after they've had a problem. More responsibilities. Yes, God. Investing into the kingdom of God, right? See, we always think about ministry being glorious, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's a work. But the reward is great. So we do get blessed with more. Then the servant, he says, "Let's celebrate together." How cool is that, right? Don't you love being able to know that you can celebrate with Christ when you finally get to that other side and you stand before him and he says, "I saw everything you did all of your life." Uh-oh. We have to pray for this group right over there. Go ahead and just raise your hands and ask for repentance to come upon them. Yes. Mercy. See, automatically we always think about only the bad we've done. If you've served God 1 minute, that has its reward doubled. If you've forgiven one person ever, that brings glory to God. Is that not valuable to a $1.6 million to forgive a person or to be forgiven? You can't buy that kind of stuff, can you, emotionally speaking? Right? Isn't it good to be free? Yes, there's power in forgiveness. So the least little act you do, no matter how small it is, and you serve God, you're sowing into the kingdom of God, because that's, you know, this is a story about a landowner who God is. And the servants are there to take care of the land, which is all the animals on the land and all the property and everything that's there, right? And all the people. It's all about the people. That's how we invest into the kingdom of God. Small, big, and large responsibilities using our talents. Then the servant with one bag of gold came and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you don't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is." Didn't account for inflation at all either, did he? "Here's your money back. I hid it because I don't like you. You asked me to do things I don't want to do. You said to me to love everybody. Not doing it." See his attitude? He's the biggest loser, wasn't he? He was afraid of this person, that he might get, you know, whatever his reasons were. To me, I call it excuses. He had been given a life just like the rest of the others, right? A new life in Christ. But he did nothing with it. Nothing worse than a wasted life. I don't know about you, but you know how people win the lottery and stuff like that, right? You would think, wow, they've got everything right, right? And then you figure out what are they going to do with the money, and then they squander it on stuff. What if they took it and put it into the kingdom of God? How many people could be fed and clothed and healed and whole, right? So we can look at them and judge that lottery winner and say, they should have done more with that money. Or you've already won the lottery, haven't you? Haven't you, spiritually speaking? Some have been given 5, 2. Some of you given 1 thing to do for God. Are you going to do it? Wow, I even heard the person on Facebook. Good for you. Awesome. So he says, "You are a wicked and lazy servant. Oop, you think I'm a hard man, don't do you? Harvesting crops I didn't plant, gathering crops I didn't cultivate. Well, you should have at least put my money into the bank so I could have some interest. Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of gold." So for those that don't serve, guess who gets the rest of the good stuff? Those who do. Who are you in the story? Are you a 5-bagger? 2-bagger? And if you even are a 1-bagger of gold, what are you going to do with it? Use it. Invest it in the kingdom of God, right? And show God, look, I gave you double back. "Take this money from this servant, give it to the one with the 10 bags of gold. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given." And that can be in the literal, physical way, spiritual way, which is more important, and also in terms of responsibilities of serving God. That's how promotion happens, spiritually speaking. That's how growth happens. You take what you've been given, and you put it into God's work. We call that here in the church. This is the place you happen to be that we're asking you to serve. What's your talent? How many have you been given? If you don't know, just start doing something. Anything. You'll find out. But each and every one of you have been given a life to live and a purpose to have of a spiritual nature. To do something for God. Because who's your employer?
Jesus.
God is. Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. We have to become Christian cooperators. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Whatever God asks us to do, whether it's one thing, two things, five things, 10 things, 1,000 things, whatever it is that God calls each of us to do with our life, this is our entire life. Your life is not your own. Do you understand that? You've been bought and paid with the price of Jesus' life. And he's given us something to do while we're waiting for him to come back. When is he coming back? Have no idea. What are we doing in the meantime? What's our work look like? Anything and everything. Even toilets. I found a new volunteer to help us with the toilets. Very nice. Beautiful. It's a talent. It's a gift. It's a gift. So... Fridays at 11. And that's physical, I understand. Praying for someone, staying with someone, being with someone through their difficult times, encouraging someone, speaking love to someone, forgiving someone, making amends with someone, listening. Greeting them, smiling at them, hugging them, being there for them when they are so unlovable. Oh, they just, oh, they did it again. Oh. Love you anyway. Never giving up on someone, believing the best in them, believing for them when they can't believe for themselves. Those are all talents, are they not? Those are all ways you can invest in God's kingdom. And I know you're going to come up with your own ways because you're all different. Each and every one of you, each and every one of you have something to contribute to this church. You're valuable. You're important. You matter. You make a difference. Without each and every one of you, this church would not exist. It doesn't exist because one person decided to preach or teach or serve. This is a team effort. Make disciples, plural, right? That's what we're here to do, to love Christ, to obey God, and to love each other, as Jesus said. Every time you love somebody and sacrifice your time, your energy, and your talent for their best good, you're being just like Jesus. Every time you see and hear of a person needing hope, and you're the one that is there hearing it, and you give them some kind of scripture or just some beneficial words or something of yourself, you're being just like Jesus was. There are still lost sheep. There are still lost souls. There are still people feeling lost, alone, afraid, condemned, rejected. There are still people that don't know that God really, truly loves them unconditionally. They hear all kinds of things from all kinds of places when we also have words we can say to counteract that, can't we? You've got a resurrected life, right? Remember where you used to be before you got here? Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. We all do. We all remember. But we're all resurrected people, aren't we now? And we come alive. We come alive with God's love, that we have a new life to live. We have a new lease on life. We have more to do for God beyond all this time and effort that we put into already what we've done. We can begin today to do even more. How many bags of gold do you have? Does it matter? What are you going to do with it? Use it for God's kingdom. Invest it into God's kingdom. You will never, ever regret it. And I promise you, when you stand before Jesus and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Wow. Everything else you've ever done wrong or didn't think you were good enough about will just disappear. You'll hear God give you praise. What a day that will be. So every time you go to do something for God, don't just do it for the praise, I know. But do it because you love God and you love people and because God loves you and brought you here to use who you are to invest in God's kingdom so that others can be saved too. Amen? Amen. Amen.